You're listening to episode 217 of Women Worldwide. You probably don't realize how much your parents, friends, teachers, and community shape and influence the first part of your life. But what if you wanted to design the second half of your life? I've got a guest who can help you. Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Today's show focuses on designing the second half of your life. But before I get to my very special Women Worldwide guest, I'd like to give you an update. So starting not with Kelly's episode, but the next episode, you'll be able to listen to Women Worldwide in the usual places like iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom. But we're also moving to video. So you'll be able to see me with guests a little bit behind the scenes. And we'll be launching that episode on Friday, May 3rd. So if you want to tune in for the video version, that would be awesome. Okay. So let's talk about this notion of designing the second half of your life. My special guest today is Kelly Connors. And she has carved a path. She had been working many years as a professional, creating her communications business. And then certain things happened along the way. And one of the things that started her, that was a part of it, started her to designing the second half of her life was when her mother, who was physically fit, healthy, suffered from a stroke and became disabled. And Kelly really became the caregiver. She was also supporting her father too, really taking a stand for her mom medically and emotionally. And it was that experience of confronting something very, very different, rules, regulations, expectations around aging, that pushed her to find this bravery that was really lying inside of her. And this was one of the things that began Kelly's journey. There's more that she is certainly going to share. And that's why she now helps women to choose a pathway to working well and to have the practice of the power of positivity and possibility. So I'm going to stop talking and let Kelly share her journey with you. Kelly, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. I'm so excited about our conversation. It's already gotten me thinking about what was my path.
Yeah, right? Well, you know, I only shared a small piece of it. And I guess that's where we should probably jump in. You are now helping others, which right. is wonderful to find something that is different or new for the second half of their lives. Maybe you can just give us a little bit more of that backstory that got you to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think is so interesting about the work I do, is that some of it's much a reflection of my own experience. And some of it, obviously, is a reflection of the research and interviews I do when I'm interviewing women for coaching, potential coaching clients. But in any case, when I turned 50 and beyond, I'm just in my late 50s, I started to think about, wow, this is, you know, the 50s are kind of like you think of, it's you know, halfway to 100, if I'm lucky enough, knock on wood, to live that long. But I started thinking about the second half of life and thought, wouldn't it be great if I could be more of a designer in my life and be more intentional rather than just live out of habit? If I could start to actually be more aware of what was possible in my life, would I create a different future for myself? Or how can I live into my best future self? So I was very much, always have been, really interested in learning and growing. And this was a professional now approach to designing the second half of my life, as opposed to just a personal approach. I decided to help other women do the same thing and learn from some of the experiences that I've had in designing. Now, we know that life happens. So it's not about controlling life. It's actually much about letting go and creativity. So that's what I'd love to share with women through coaching, and what we can talk more about that.
Yeah. I mean, that is really interesting, approaching it from this professional side and helping others to experience something new and to sort of design like you did. How would somebody, so you realize through a set of experiences and learning about yourself, how does somebody else kind of come to the same realization? How do they know that they need a different path? Or I guess for the listeners out there, for all of you out there listening, Kelly, can you tell them what are the signs and the signals that would say, oh my gosh, I need to do something different?
Sure. Well, sometimes life just happens, right, to us. We may have a loved one that passes away, and we realize that person actually made such an impact on us, and now there's a void, or we feel a lack of. So feeling a lack of can help you kind of decide, you know what, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with this path. And happiness isn't everything. I'm not talking about the fleeting emotion of happiness, but it's sometimes these changes that happen to us, could be divorce, could be loss, some kind of movement, you know, geographically, you move away from your friends and family to take a new job and things start to look different, or just simply the passing of time that you start to realize, you know, I've lived my life. I'm very lucky to be healthy and happy, healthy and alive and have friends and family. I want to live with more impact in my life. Something may just stir in you. You feel it in your body. It's not necessarily rational, but you feel that there's something else going on and you'd like to explore that. So a lot of it is a belief in your own self-worth. If you didn't believe in your own self-worth, you would just continue to be stuck and say, this is my life. But for people who have a higher level of self-worth, it's really a thrilling adventure, and it takes bravery and courage to go on a discovery, a self-discovery journey. And that's, I guess, the path. So yeah. Choosing a path of self-discovery versus letting life happen and wondering why things are happening the way they are, or just having lots of just malcontent feelings. I mean, that's worth exploring. What are those malcontent feelings?
Right.
You are worth it. You are worthy of a life where you can live well, work well, and thrive.
What is it about the first part of our lives that we're not exactly, that we're unsure of what the path should be? Is it that we're being shaped by so many influences as we grow up? You know, getting set in a path could be a function of the neighborhood you grew up in, your parents' values, what school you went to, the teachers who were around you, your friends. Does that have a lot to do with it?
Absolutely. That is the whole thing, is that by the time we're, I guess in our early 20s, we've been shaped by parents, teachers, culture, neighborhoods, the media. And these are all external factors that impact how we see our life. And if we could only reshape that, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to give up everything that you've already known. What it does, though, require is an understanding and belief that you can let go of those habits that have kind of shaped you in a direction that may no longer fit you. It's kind of like a dress. Yeah. When I started thinking about designing the second half of my life, I decided I would no longer take a dress that was off the rack, that I wanted to take a dress that I would have, some agency in designing. And I realized in my early 50s that I had all the tools to do that.
Right.
I understood some of who I was, much more than when I was younger. I had no idea you could shape your life, but you can.
Absolutely. So, I have so many questions just based on what you said. Does it have to be the second half of your life? So let's say, 50 comes in a blink, right?
Yeah.
I felt like I blinked and I was 50.
Yeah.
And that was a few years ago. So can somebody, when they're 40, you said we're shaped by the time we're 20. Is the hope and expectation that by the time you're 40, you're thinking about it so that doesn't necessarily have to be that real second half? Is earlier better?
Oh, yeah. So when I said shaped by 40, what I mean is that a lot of the factors probably happen sooner, but a lot of the factors that shape who we are happen in, we're having a lot of supervision. People are teaching us and they're shaping us. But we can always, there is you evolve throughout your whole life with new experiences, but also ability to change your thoughts that impact how you experience life. And that you can do at any time, in your adult life. So my work is mostly with women, I'd say over 45 when I say second half of life. But I've had women in their 30s come to me and say the same thing that older women say about their lives in terms of feeling like they've had so much change,
mm-hmm.
and they don't feel quite sure about their careers, and they find themselves falling behind, that whole concept of fear of missing out. And so women have come to me much younger than I would have ever expected, because I guess my lens has been, there's a certain amount of transition and change that happens, perimenopause, postmenopause, a midlife view on it. But actually, no. There's obviously lots of reasons why that things happen to people, and people become aware. Now we're more aware than ever because of communications and the whole practice of mindfulness. So as younger people become more mindful, it's possible that this is stirring a new awareness of what they're really not happy about,
right,
would like to change. That can be the downside of awareness, is we have to embrace what we come up against. And so helping people navigate through awareness is really, I guess, it's foundational to what I do. It's not that we talk about mindfulness all day, but this is becoming more mindful also brings with it some higher level of awareness that we then are confronted with, right?
Right.
As the saying goes, ignorance is bliss, but do you really want to be that ignorant in your life and have the health and well-being stressors that come along with it? If you're up for living with a glass half full, the kind of work that I do is very much around positive psychology, mindfulness, and coaching.
Right. So, you said navigating through awareness and this higher level of awareness, and that is the mindfulness and being present. Are those the first steps to helping your clients design this path forward? When somebody comes to you, what are the out-of-the-gate steps to get them started?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's slowing down, pausing. I remember when I started to do this work myself, I declared the end of a run-on sentence. My life is a run-on sentence. I really felt like I didn't put enough commas in my paragraphs
or periods.
Stop just moving forward, because fast is better, because it's really not, and it's not good for your health. So back to my, you know, my essence, my purpose is to use the power of whole being to advance people at work. Whole being is taking into consideration the intellectual, spiritual, relational, emotional aspects of life to move you forward at work. So it's working well. And as you, your original question was around what are the initial steps? So it is recognizing that your body is connected to your head, and we've been living out of our heads. So what I'm trying to do is help especially women disconnect from their head, get into their body, pause, and we go through some body intelligence work that really brings more awareness to how you're feeling in your body. And this can help you actually take steps to improve your health. You may be on the verge of, let's face it, we're all stressed at work. Some women are on the verge of heart attacks.
Oh my gosh.
At a much younger age than than we had thought, and at a rate that's greater than men. It just wasn't researched. So
you hear these stories about, I mean, you know, even my brother, physically fit, had a massive heart attack, and it was almost like how does something like that happen? Or you hear about a woman who has a heart problem. Stress, when you're in your head, you don't sometimes feel what your body is telling you. You're ignoring it completely because you are so wrapped up in your head. So that must be an interesting first step, and a very hard first step, I bet.
Yeah, it's actually a relief because people don't realize that they're doing that. So a lot of my work is about awareness, just awareness that you could disconnect, you could connect your mind and your body. And people do that through yoga, through meditation, through walking in the, walking in nature, but it's not just the act of doing, it's becoming more aware of how your body's feeling and being able to characterize where the energy is getting constricted. So, it is very much about energy and where is the energy stuck. Now, I do a practice every morning, pretty much every morning, where I tune into my breathing. Okay, it's mindfulness meditation, but I move my breath to various parts of my body to get unstuck. Huh. And this is really, really an ancient practice. And you can do this with pranayama breathing, different yogic breathing practices. But simply stated, it's understanding where energy is not moving anymore. And you start to really feel that you are more constricted instead of flowing. You're fearing. And those constricted energy points are fear. And that's how I start to then move into this concept of bravery, because bravery isn't just for brave people that like Malala and Joan of Arc and, you know, people that risk their lives. Bravery is an everyday opportunity to break through fear and to be vulnerable and to connect with others. And I'm very much a student of Brené Brown as one of my teachers. I read a lot of what she has to offer in terms of braving the wilderness. And that's really connecting with ourselves.
Sure.
So designing the second half of your life is very much about connecting with your true essence. And in India, I just came back from India, and it's all about dharma or your purpose. And you don't have to believe in Hinduism or Buddhism. It's connecting with your true essence. And we don't often think about this because we're so outward looking. Communication, social media.
Right.
We are so outward focused that we have lost connection with who we are.
So on that note, and I remember reading this somewhere, either on your website or some materials, that you talk about getting in touch with your gifts. Is this true essence you speak of? Is that the gift, or is it something more specific to each person?
Yeah, I loved that question, getting in touch with your gifts. So, you know, at a really simplistic level, it's what are you interested in? What do you offer the world that makes you happy? So is it being at the Boston Marathon? The marathon was yesterday. I was thinking about it as I was walking around and seeing all the runners run, and my eyes kept filling up with tears. And I had like a lump in my throat when I first started watching the elite runners come through. And then I really started getting teary-eyed when I would just see some everyday people running the Boston Marathon. It's overcoming the odds that, you know, what did it go in? What did it take to do something like that? Well, it took change of habits. It took commitment. It took discipline. You just don't get up and run the Boston Marathon. It took a series of steps. Some people probably had to do special things to give time for training. But your gifts are really what you're giving the world, what makes you happy. And in that space of giving and generosity and gratitude for what you have, it's full of possibility. Again, if you are aware. So I love this quote that I pulled from Martha Graham, the dancer. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And there is only one of you in all time. This expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium and be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, not how it compares with others' expression of it. It is your business to keep yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep open and aware directly to the urges that motivate you. And when I think about that, that is the underlying, you know, underpinning of get in touch with your gifts. Who are you? What are you offering to the world? It's not your job, right? It's not just the job and the title and the role you have. You have an opportunity inside that channel to deliver your gifts. And that's what working well is about.
That's fascinating. I love that quote. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. When we get back, Kelly's going to share more about her journey, and we're going to learn a lot more about her too.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing and PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Brecker.
Welcome back to the show. I've been chatting with Kelly Connors about designing the second part of your life and the important steps that you can take, which is really interesting, that whole piece about awareness. Kelly, you certainly, from what you've said, you know, you're really helping people to become much more in tune, to get out of their heads, to tune into their bodies, this whole awareness. Is there anything, which is super gratifying? What about being a business owner? And are there any challenges for you as you've been doing this, as you've been helping people, that you want to share with us?
Sure. You know, when I first started out in my own business, this was over 10 years ago, and I started out as a consultant. So my expertise was women's health communications and patient advocacy. So as a consultant, you bring your expertise to your clients and you pitch your clients on your expertise and they hire you. So when you're involved in coaching, I coach individuals and I coach groups of women, and I will go to companies to share my work. It seems as though the coaching piece is a little bit different because you have to inspire people with a promise of something better, that you can solve a problem through coaching. And I think that the the challenging part of that is just getting people to recognize the value of coaching, because it's not as hardcore, perhaps, as consulting. So the coaching piece is a little bit softer skill, but that's also gratifying because there's lots of collaboration that goes into that. There's lots of creativity, and I get notes, thank you notes from people, which I never got when I was a consultant. I mean, people would appreciate my work and they would pay me. So that, to me, that was good enough. But in coaching, I get a much more enriching experience of connecting with others. And that's most gratifying. It's also the most challenging.
Yeah. I mean, when you hire a coach, I mean, I guess I hired a business coach, but I've been in business since 1998. I did it because you don't know what you don't know. And you also want to invest in yourself. So it's very different than, you're right, being a consultant, which I am, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. So just, I don't know what made me think of this, but, you know, you talk about the whole process of getting in tune with yourself. There is a lot of, I'm sure, self-reflection, because we are very external, the way that we react to things. So when you want to design yourself differently, you look inward. And I wondered if you were self-reflective early on, but maybe just didn't bring it out. Was there always a part of you that had this self-reflection, or it really was later on when a series of things occurred?
Yeah, I think I was always a bit self-reflective. And it probably sort of came across as in the outward world as shy or introvert. And so I think I was that way for pretty much growing up. And it wasn't until I started to turn that kind of orientation into creativity and thoughtfulness and strategy, and, you know, started to manifest, not just inward, but wow, you know, there's just a new research study that came out, and it said that self-reflective people are more creative. And I said, that's funny. You mean there hasn't been any study about that before? I mean, it seems so obvious to me that you need quiet time. And that's what the study was about, that solitude improves your ability to be self-reflective, and that improves your ability to be creative. And maybe it's the self-reflection is the process of creativity, is a process. It's not the only, but is part of creativity, or letting go enough to be creative. So I think I've always had this bend, and it wasn't until I started to use it as a gift that I became more, that I started to use it in my business more, because I saw it as really helpful. It would distinguish me from others, you know? So it's, you know, when you're doing coaching, people don't like to buy mindset shift as much as they like to buy the results of mindset shift. So you can't talk about all this stuff because it's sort of like, oh my God, so personal, and ugh, I don't really want to go inward and stare at my navel and blah. You know, people don't like to do that. They want the results. Right. They don't want to be that way because
that's the outcome.
Yes, they want the outcome. What's that going to do for me? So, you know, it's not for everybody, I guess, but this is the path. I mean, this is the path to healthy aging as well. Ability to be self-reflective, ability to empathize, ability to connect with others in a way that gives you access to your own joy.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about the American workforce, right? The American dream, and how many work hours people are putting in out there. All you listeners are working hard. And it's almost a part of our culture to keep going and going and going and going. But even just the power of taking a really good break, right? Like, there is something to be said. There's companies today that demand that people take their vacation time, and that there's a reason for it. Because you actually, if you can refresh yourself and kind of step back and get out of your head and get out of that work mode, you will be more creative. You will be more productive. There is definitely something to that study.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's all about energy. Like, if you are just constantly on the go, you're not even aware of, and you're not aware of your body, other than I'm exhausted and I don't know why.
Right.
This works, your body works really well on autopilot when you're younger. If you get into your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you start to realize that energy is your superpower. Energy. It happens naturally when you're younger. But it's just an organic part of evolving as a human being. And it doesn't mean that because you're losing energy that you're less effective. What it means is that you just have to become smarter in how you understand your energy and how you use energy to manage your time, and just don't become a robot.
And where you want to put that energy is so important.
Right. Exactly. So that's why my coaching isn't just about self-reflection. It's about aligning actions with your true essence. Because once you align your actions with your true essence, you are no longer only working on willpower. You're not only working on willpower, you're working on life force. And that is constantly regenerative. Willpower has an end to it. Life force, chi, you can generate. You can generate with positive thoughts. You can generate force, momentum with happiness. You can generate that inner feeling of vitality through well-being practices that include mindfulness, exercise, connection with others, empathy, creativity. There's lots of ways to generate energy, but you can't just survive. It's not sustainable,
right,
to use your brawn, your willpower all the time. You will run out of gas.
Plus, we don't want to just survive. We want to thrive and find that essence. That's so important. You are so knowledgeable in what you do. It clearly comes through in this conversation. How do you keep learning so that you can bring the very best insight and thoughts and continue to help carving all of these paths forward for your clients? Where are you learning from?
Well, I learn from being aware of who I'm associating with. So what I mean by that is I learn by connecting with others. I learn by quieting down and being aware of how those connections are fueling my life and being interested in other people. That's how I learn. So, like, for instance, right now, while I do read books, you know, I read books on leadership, The Art of Leadership. I'm a fan of creativity books, Julia Cameron, Walking in This World, Brené Brown. I'm also a fan of medical and health books that talk about breaking through with science-based evidence. My background's in public health, so I have kind of this science health bend that really fuels my purpose for connecting with others. But what I was really going to say is that I, of late, have been learning so much from other people because I'm writing a book called On the Order of Bravery and Brave Moves, and what helps people move through fear to bravery. Because we don't often think of bravery as a goal. We just kind of think maybe some people are brave and others aren't. That's what I'm exploring. So I learn by connecting and asking questions and having the courage to explore where I might be uncomfortable because I don't know something.
That's really exciting about your new book.
Yeah. Well, my first book, I mean, I've never thought it. See, this is the whole thing. I never had the word writer labeled on my forehead. It was always,
I can see it.
Yeah. But now I'm becoming a writer. And that is unleashing, again, life force, vitality, because I'm connecting with others.
Wonderful.
And for me, my true essence is really, this is really a human thing. That's just not about me, but it's connecting with others and using the connection with others to help others. So through, you know, generosity and gratitude, that's kind of where my whole success vortex is. It's generosity, connecting with others, being generous, and having gratitude for every moment that we have together.
That's beautiful. Well, I definitely can relate to what you're saying. I'm constantly learning from others like you and everybody who comes on this show. And it's all for a greater purpose and to find synergy together and to do wonderful things in this world, you know, serve others. So
this, I just wanted to mention, you know, because when you were talking about, one of your questions was around, learning, self-reflection. So there's just clearly that's part of getting going here. It's foundational, but I've started to connect more, with others by building what I'm calling a community, and it's called the Life Work Collaborative. And the Life Work Collaborative is a way to be intentional about other people's stories and having them spark a new learning for yourself. So I'm launching this Life Work Collaborative May 16th in Boston with Dolores Hirschman. She's going to be my featured speaker, and she's going to share her brave story that will inspire the other women at the table at the dinner salon to hear the brave voice inside that's lying dormantly.
Awesome.
That, yeah. So that's an example of, it's not just inward for yourself, it's inward and sharing that so others can actually reignite their life's work through your own story.
Oh, I love it. Well, wishing you so much success and happiness and a lot of learning, and I just think your event sounds great. You know, I'm a fan of Dolores.
I know. That's why I was asking you where you were from, because I said, you're not that close to Boston, but you are
I'm not that far.
Wholeheartedly invited.
Oh,
because,
gosh. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. I'm like, we'll talk.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk. Let's talk about relationships, because you touched on that before a little bit. How do you, I guess, go about keeping the right relationships in your life? I guess so that, because they really affect the first part of your life. They're going to affect the second part of your life. There's some relationships that you know, you're sort of born into, whether it's family. So maybe just share a little bit on relationships.
Sure. Well, I mean, like you, I mean, I'm a relationship person. I think lots of people believe they are relationship people, but social media actually disconnects us. So I actually am using this concept of having a few intimate friends, but creating connections for other people. So a few intimate friends would be, you know, not just professional friends of mine, but also people that are interested in the world at large. That's kind of like people that I love to be with, have something that they're offering to the world, but it doesn't have to be a big deal kind of thing. It's just more that they're really aware of what they're doing and it really excites them. So like the marathon runners, like that, like I feel connected to the runners because I feel inspired by what they'd have to overcome to actually run the Boston Marathon. Like, I love to be around people who have something inspirational. I also feel that it's not just, like, with my mom. She's been, like, a key inspiration my whole life. So when she became disabled, my mom became actually more of an inspiration to me because I started to really understand and do some research on what it's like to have a stroke.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book now called The Stroke of Insight. A Stroke of Insight. It's written by a neuroscientist who was head of the Harvard Brain Tissue Bank. And she had a stroke. This woman had a stroke. She's a PhD, Jill Boatley Taylor. And she writes about how the stroke affected her and what the stroke was like having the stroke.
Oh my God.
She documented it. And you know, like the whole idea of relationships is so much different now than when I was younger, because I feel connected to people who just offer, I just see people in more, I get inspired by people more now. I just don't take people for granted. I just feel like everybody has a story. And if we tapped into that brave, wise, loving self of others more often, if we knew more about others, that we would actually be happier, right, at least. And we would thrive.
Absolutely. It's almost like there's so much noise out there, and I'm referencing, you know, social media and news, that you become numb to sometimes what really matters, or you miss the opportunity of a story that's right there, or the opportunity to meet somebody who does have an incredible story, and you're going to learn from that person, and you might be able to connect that person to somebody else that you know who shares something similar. I agree. I think being open to those relationships and not letting everything just pass us by because we're busy and it's noisy and we're just in our own heads.
Right. But this is like the work you're doing, you know, as a host on Women Worldwide, you're doing exactly what you just said. So I bet if I were to ask you, what's the most, you know, interesting part of your work, that this podcast would be right up there.
Absolutely. It's the women, the professionals, what they're sharing, the learning, the love, the gratitude, and kind of feeling like you're a part of something bigger, that, you know, all these stories together, they're monumental in and of themselves, everyone who comes and shares, but there's a powerful force of what's behind all of those stories and the people. So yes, Women Worldwide is not my day job, but it, you know, I'm a communications strategist, but my passion, I believe in relationships, and that does come from my communications background.
Yeah. Communicators love
relationships.
You know, the relationship building,
yes,
is just, and that's, you know, my background is in PR and marketing, mm-hmm, and relationships, were really key. Now I can imagine that, you know, one of the things I think is hard, just thinking about, is I've worked with so many people, and are those people that I stay in touch with today, are they important in my life? You know, I like to know what they're doing. I like to stay connected, but they're not necessarily my intimate friends, right? So you have this circle. It's like throwing a pebble in a pond. You have the close inner circle, and then you have,
yes,
your outer circle of friends. And it's really very important to have a couple of really good friends. That's all you really need. Couple really good friends, and I've started to spend more time with those, mm-hmm, few people in my inner circle of late, and recognize who they are and cherish them.
That's great.
And because life moves really fast.
It sure does. And not everybody can be in the inner circle. I mean, I always say that there's all different levels of friendship, and they feed us and fuel us in different ways. None should be taken for granted, but that inner circle is that group that has your back, will kick you in the butt when you need.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
They're your sounding board. They're your, you know, your good conscience. They're everything.
Yeah,
it's really,
yeah,
important. You know, Kelly, I can hardly believe that I'm going to ask you to round out this show with some advice, that we're almost finished here. What advice do you want to share with others who have traveled the first part of their life, they're thinking about the second half? What do you want to say to them?
Oh, you know what I would leave you with is just to really spend some time every day. Take 10 minutes, slow down. Go to an app called Insight Timer. It's really good.
Good.
It's got all these choices for how you want to spend 10 minutes in quieting down. And just really, just be quiet. You don't need an app to do that. You could just sit in the sun in your kitchen window or in your office. Just take 10 minutes and breathe. Notice the breath flowing in and out, and embrace positive thoughts. Let go of what comes in your mind that's chatter, and just be present. And that is like a huge gift you can give yourself.
That is a huge gift. Just listening to you, you're a calming presence. And I, listeners, I hope you take those 10 minutes. Kelly, just let us know where people can find out more about you and your work.
Okay, so after I've just told you about being calm, then I'll tell you about brave moves. But it all comes from being calm. Right. That's the irony. So the website that you can find me on is just my name site. So it's Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Connors, C-O-N-N-O-R-S.com. And the Life Work Collaborative can be found at designyournext.com. So happy to have people check it out and contact me. Absolutely. Even for just a chat.
Excellent. Kelly, thank you so much. Your story is inspiring. What you're doing is wonderful. You're helping others to find out what's next and their true essence. And we really just appreciate you and your time. So thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre. I love your the focus of your podcast, too. I think it's great to, you know, mobilize and to connect with other women worldwide. Clearly, women these days are rising, right?
Oh, yeah.
So exciting.
It is.
So exciting.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep the feedback coming to us on Twitter, Facebook, rate us on iTunes. We love hearing all of your feedback. And you know what? If you want Women Worldwide updates, you can go to the Women Worldwide Show page at womenworldwideshow.com and sign up for our email updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.